We're proud to be sponsored by MyFlex Learning. MyFlex Learning is a scheduling platform that helps middle and high schools meet the individual needs of all students. Schools can easily create and manage time for flex blocks, win time, activity periods, RTI, counselor and teacher appointments, and much more. And with its built-in accountability tool and reporting features, MyFlex Learning solves your challenges around getting kids where they need to be and understanding how flex time is spent. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more and receive $500 off the first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.
Every child deserves a team. That's the belief behind Jigsaw Learning, a proud sponsor of the B Podcast Network. And it's why the company, founded by educators Curtis and Lorna Hewson, focuses on ensuring success for all learners through collaborative response, an approach in which every child is supported by a team. Through customized professional learning that incorporates workshops, leadership development, online learning opportunities, and more, Jigsaw Learning can guide you every step of the way to create a plan to maximize the collective capacity in your schools. Learn more at jigsawlearning.ca.
Welcome back to the Scene to Lead podcast, all my listeners. This is the fourth episode. That's right. We're doing another series because feedback from you, which thank you very much for, has been incredibly positive about doing these series type episodes. And this one definitely does not disappoint. We are here with Mike James again for the fourth episode. And this one I think really is going to turn into five, but you have to go back and listen to the first three. Mike is bringing us a framework of building more powerful community that has to do with teach, train, develop, and inspire. And I have to tell you, and I have a personal relationship with Mike, just to be transparent and out there, you know, he's worked with every member of Team Jones. I trust him to work with my own two children because of how I feel about the impact that he can have. But this one is the last in that framework, so to speak. So this one is about community and inspiration and how and where we go from there. Mike has done a really good job of taking us in a way that is really beneficial for anybody listening to this personally, but also for schools and ways to bring SEL into their curriculum and why that's important. And it's not just an opinion, but he's offered scientific research that shows this is effective. And this isn't effective just for the idea of, you know, feeling better or having kids feel better or increasing all those different areas, those five different pillars on the castle wheel, but it also improves academics. So when we get hung up on the idea of test scores and are we getting through the curriculum, this stuff matters. So just to reiterate, Mike is a passionate coach, mentor, and leader. He is dedicated to fostering positive change through the principles of MIRA, mindset, intention, and right action. Mike's been doing this for quite some time. He's turned his attention to social emotional learning because he realizes the importance and the positive impact it can have on people. So trust me, Mike is all about teaching, training, developing, and inspiring. And he is one that you want to listen to when you're talking about how to reflect and create an environment where personal and organizational transformation can thrive.
Let's talk about flex time in schools. The potential benefits to our students make it worth exploring. More time for personalized learning, increased choice and agency for students, and the increased engagement that comes along with it, dedicated time for intervention. Overall, as school leaders, it gives us and our faculty more tools to increase academic achievement. But the implementation and management of flex time can be a challenge. Tricky logistics and a lack of clear accountability systems can prevent teachers from buying in and can hold us back from ensuring students make good use of their time. I'm pleased to share that MyFlex Learning provides a solution to these challenges and more. MyFlex Learning helps you create and manage flexible time for any purpose. And with seamless SIS integration, a student locator, flexible daily rostering, and an intuitive mobile app, it eliminates the common challenges of implementation and management. Want to see for yourself? Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more and receive $500 off the first year of use. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.
It's okay. It really, truly is. But learning from it, growing from it, understanding it, or seeing a path where you can do better and then going down that path, right? Becoming that person that we talked about, becoming that sixth person in the six person group because you want to be that person. And not being that yet is okay. It's okay, right? And trying and failing and not doing it and doing it and then starting again, it's all okay. And I think that's what we teach that to our students and our kids, but do we take that to our heart, to ourselves?
Dr. Chris Jones here, and welcome to Seeing to Lead, a show designed to help leaders increase their ability to effectively support, engage, and empower their staff through intentional practices so that they create an environment where everyone reaches their greatest level of success. On Seeing to Lead, communication rules the day as we hear voices from both teachers and leaders in an effort to examine perspectives, highlight misunderstandings, and provide steps to ultimately bridge the gap between what teachers need and provide through thoughtful dialogue. This show is about amplifying voices, creating understanding, and providing information to help everyone continually improve. I want to personally thank you for taking the time. Now, let's get to getting better.
So I'm not going to continue on, Mike, because I could go on all day because of how I feel about you and the stuff you're talking about. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks again. I really appreciate it. And we were kind of talking off air about how difficult it can be sometimes to take a compliment. And I will tell you that it's not easy for me either, but I certainly appreciate it. And it does mean a lot to me. So thank you. And your actions and your words, you know, they speak loudly to me and they always have, as someone that has inspired me as well. So thank you for that. And thanks for having me.
So we all know the importance of modeling. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, thank you. That means a lot to me because what the listeners now they need to know because we've done this and this, you know what? I want to make this a little bit of a challenge for those that get uncomfortable when they receive a compliment. Mike and I were talking and I'm not good at taking compliments that people give me. And I had another fantastic mentor and coach, Danny Bauer, who told me just say thank you and be appreciative. But Mike told me that I can really improve my situation or ability to do that by actualizing, to use one of your words about actually, by putting it out there verbally and saying it out loud, authentically, of course, and meaning it. And so I do, but that's another step in this whole SEL process of improving ourselves, being honest with ourselves and knowing ourselves, even if it's just 1% better each day, by putting it out there and reiterating the idea that we are grateful for something or that we do appreciate something. So that's that whole model. So listeners, when somebody pays you a compliment, put it out there, say it out loud, tell them that you appreciate it. And I promise, Mike promises, it'll still be hard, but it'll be a little easier each time you do that.
Well said. We got 1% better today. I like this.
There we go. There we go. So we're talking about community today and talking about inspire and building, you know, more strong communities, powerful communities. And you mentioned when you talk about community, and this is what really hooked me into this word, is the idea of visitor and guest and visitor versus guests, it could be. So I'm going to turn it over to you, let you take it from there. You've done a great job so far, and I think you're really going to wrap it up for people here with your thoughts on communities.
Thanks. I appreciate it. So yeah, I guess I will start with, I'll start with visitor versus guest, and we'll kind of bring it back around. Because when we think about just the verbiage we use, right? I don't know if you have a guest policy at the school or a visitor policy at the school, right? But I do know that one of the most successful companies of all time was started by a guy that drew a cartoon mouse. And I'm talking about a guy named Walt Disney. And I'm talking specifically about their motto, their slogan, be our guest, right? What an impactful thing to do, right? We don't want visitors at our parks. We want guests. We want people that come and are welcomed and our understand they would want them to be there. We want people to treat us like you would treat somebody if you were a guest in their house or their place, right? But more importantly, and this is where we'll tie it all back at the end, we want to act as a guest everywhere we go, right? And what does a guest do? A guest is polite. A guest is respectful. A guest is grateful, thankful, happy, right? All of these things are different. And it's just a different mindset. It's a different term rather than being a visitor. And what's a visitor? A visitor is somebody that goes a place where they're not planning on coming back, or maybe they're planning on coming back, but has no real care about the place itself or the people around and just visiting and just stopping by and just going to, you know, drop in, right? So when we think about the difference between visitor and guest, and where do we want to live our life? Do we want to live our life as a visitor everywhere we go, where no impact, just leave, come and go? Or do we want to live our life as a guest everywhere I go? And I would challenge you to think about that when we start to talk and get deeper into community and what it means. And again, back to some of the science that we'll get into, what it looks like to be in a community. But I would challenge you to think about that during this next, you know, 30 minutes as we talk.
That's, you know, making that distinction, and already, right, you've already put something out there for us to think about. As soon as you said it, what kind of policy do you have at your school? Is it a visitor policy? Do they get a visitor badge? Or is it a guest policy? Do they get a guest badge? And then my mind started to wander a little bit thinking about when you're saying, how do you want to be received and how do you act? And what's the last hotel I went to? Did they have a guest services or did they have a visitor services? So really powerful stuff about, you know, what that means to a community. And we talk about wanting to build communities in our school and how our school's a community or our classroom community. We refer to our schools as communities. When we talk about students and student behavior or behavior of adults in the building, is it that of a guest? Is it that of somebody that feels like they belong? We talk about belonging and acceptance in our schools and how we want students to run into the building, not run away from the building. Thinking about being a visitor in places, like you said, you might come back and visit, as opposed to being a guest in places. Man, I want guests in my school.
Yeah, you do.
I want student guests. I want a community full of guests. Think of how discipline issues, behavioral issues would go down if people acted like guests. But what are we doing to foster that? And how is that part of the idea of a community?
Well, so this is where I'll take you back in time for a moment or two. And I want to just kind of address, and I think we talked about this, about how incredibly different our world is right now. And I started the podcast by going back to the ancients and going back to medieval times. So I'll go back, you know, as we finish the series. Previous, your community was within 3 miles of your house. You know, wherever you lived, you were not going within more than 3 miles. You didn't have cars. You certainly didn't have any way to reach out to them. You were going to walk or take a horse. That was, you know, depending upon the time period we're talking about. But ultimately, that was your community. You probably had a doctor. You probably had a store, maybe, right? We'll just fast forward through time. And then let's just say we'll go all the way up until the year 2000 for our listeners. And me and you still remember, if you were outside of the house, you weren't going to get in touch with anybody, because the only way for them to get in touch with you was to call you on the house phone. So your community was ultimately just slightly larger than 3 miles, right? You had a car and maybe your aunt and uncle lived a little further away, but that's what it was, right? We have a situation where our community is global. It just is. So now that we've gone from this proximity metric to a global metric, what makes up the community, right? What is the community? The community is a group that has a shared characteristic, and I use the characteristic because, especially on your email tagline, we talk about building character, right? We have a common theme, something we want to accomplish, something that makes us feel safe, right? some type of unity in their school. We all have a connection because we all go to Whitman Hanson High School. That becomes our community. But here's where I need you guys to see things just a little bit differently. And I want you to think about all of the communities that you are a member of. And I'll start here. If you are in school, you are a member of that community. If you are a math teacher and you're reaching out to other math teachers across the state or country, you're a member of that math teacher community. If you are going to your son or daughter's pediatrician, that pediatrician becomes a member of your community. Right? Everywhere you go, you are a member of that community, even if it's for a short period of time. You go out to dinner, you're a member of that community for that period of time. So what I want you to understand, and I think you guys should really get this down, your community ends up being you. Does that make sense? Do you see the correlation there? Because I'm going to go a little deeper with it here for you. If you are having a bad day, every place that you go sucks that day. Did all of those communities suck? Or were you having a bad day? And think about it, right? If you're having a tough day and your third period class was difficult, and then your fifth period class was difficult, does that community of kids or students, right, were they difficult? Or was it more likely that you were having that bad day? Right? And I think that's something that we can really look at and really identify for ourselves. And believe me when I tell you this, there's nobody in this world that is perfect and can do that on the spot. But if we can start to notice that from a community perspective, we can start to do what we're trying to do here, which is build more powerful communities. Really building ourself, building the internal mind that is ourself to bring the best version of ourself to all of these communities collectively. And if we get a group of people in a room that have all decided they want to be the best version of themselves, that community becomes incredibly powerful and incredibly strong. And with no help from me or from the outside forces, because they don't need it. They've decided, they've set their mindset, their intention is to be this way, and now their actions follow suit. Those are communities where people want to be. And those are communities that have the power to bring up those people that are having difficult days, to coach, teach, train, develop, inspire someone that's having a tough day, right? Those are the real reasons that we join these communities, is so that we can become part of something. But we have to be able to bring our best selves to these communities in order to have the communities work back for us. They play such a vital role in shaping our experience. We don't think about it, because if you were asking somebody today, what's your community? Right? And I would ask the listeners out there, what's your community? Really spend the time, 2, 3, 4 minutes, and decide what your community is. And I think you'll find your community is you. It's your family. It's where you go. It's who you travel with. It's where you are. Everywhere your feet are, that's where you're a member of that community. So I know I said a lot there, because I want to start to think about community and inspiration, really inspiring you to be the best version of yourself so that you can be part of an incredible community everywhere you go. Not just one place, not just two places, but every place you go. And I'm going to stop here, and then we'll start to talk about what does that do from a science perspective, because I love this part.
I'm glad you're stopping there, because, and I'm glad you left that piece of silence, because as you're talking, boy, when you say your community ends up being, you went from the idea that our community is now global. Because we can go anywhere, we can connect with anybody virtually, we can travel anywhere. But the idea that your community is you just really brings home the importance of this type of work and the idea of inspiring people to work on themselves. I do, however, have a couple questions. This falls in line with the idea of you are the average of the top 5 people you spend the most time with, right? So if I take that philosophy, for lack of a better term, or I take that idea, and when I give like weekly video talks and things like that to my community, I talk about that or hint towards that a lot. But I also talk about the idea of not only find those 5 people that elevate you, that you want to be like or that will push you to be better, but be one of those people for somebody else so that somebody else wants you in their top five. We can't, as we've learned over the past three episodes, control others and how others act and their actions. We can only control ourselves. So if we're working on ourselves to get better, how do we find that circle that we add to or that adds to us to build, in the end, a greater community?
Man, this is going to sound counterproductive or counterintuitive, right, to a lot of our listeners out there. But I'm going to give you the answer, and I firmly believe in this answer. And I think I might have even closed one of the podcasts up before when I made this distinction. The answer is allow, okay? And act with intention. Act with the intention that you see fit, that you believe is the right way for you to act. Understand when you haven't acted that way, make course corrections, do the things that we all need to do when we have to change our behavior, right? But as you start to do that more and more, as you start to choose your mindset, choose your intention, and then act for the right action that is your best good, those people will come into your life. They will. That's, you can allow it. You can allow it to happen. And if you want to get a little more sciencey about it, right? It's because what are you doing when you're doing those things? Well, you're spending more time in places that you are find valuable. You're surrounding yourself by default because other people that are there are finding those things valuable. I was maybe this is the best example, but I was lucky enough to coach an offensive lineman that was 300 pounds. And he was about to go off to college. And I was like, and he was like, man, I'm leaving my girlfriend behind. And I was like, well, that's okay. Like, what do you like to do? And he was like, you know, I really like to do yoga. And I was like, go and do yoga because you're going to find people in yoga classes that you would like to be around. And that's going to happen, right? So if you like something, if you want to know about something, if you want to act in a certain way, act that way, be that person. And the people around you by default will start to be those people also. And of course, you can make wrong decisions and bad choices, and we all have that, but that's the way. I think if you're really being honest with ourselves, if you look at the relationships you have and you notice the ones that are great and really, really good, it's probably how they came about. It was probably because you're out there doing the things you love, choosing the right action, choosing your intention, being in positions where you can find those people, and they came into your life.
So be the authentic, improving individual you are.
Absolutely.
Or you actually are, to go back to that.
You actually are. Yes, exactly.
See, I'm learning 1% at a time. Just see what I did there too, but 1% at a time, I'm learning.
Supporting your teachers and students seems to be a struggle. They just don't seem to be engaged. You wish they would take more responsibility for their learning and culture of the building, but they just don't seem to be empowered enough to do it. So, my question is, have you checked out the book Seeing to Lead yet? It's all about creating a true educational experience where learning, growth, leadership, and community take center stage. Full of strategies and resources, Seeing to Lead is about attaining that goal by employing a model that supports, engages, and empowers all individuals to become leaders themselves. Pick up a copy today at seeingtolead.com. That's SEEINGTOLEAD.com. Remember, you don't become a leader and then decide you need to support and recognize others more than yourself. It is the moment you realize it's about supporting and recognizing others that you become a leader. SeeingToLead.com.
So what I'm taking from that, because I think this is important for people to hear when we're talking about building these communities, that if we are all working on ourselves to become better, acting in authentic ways, intentionally, those communities build themselves. They attract people. And I can make all kinds of connections to school choice programs. Students leave schools and come to schools for different reasons. You can talk about immigration issues. without getting too close to what's in the news today, but there are push-pull factors everywhere. And you mentioned that when you do this, you attract these people, you allow them into your life. And you in turn, because I think this is how it has to work, correct me if I'm wrong, you in turn are then allowed into their lives because you're doing similar things. So what does that look like for communities that develop? And is there a science to that shows communities building up and developing over time like that?
Well, I guess it's tough to answer the science question from that angle, but I'll answer it from a little bit of a different angle.
Fair.
I'll give you the example of something called blue zones. Have you heard of these?
No.
Like 5 or 6 different zones in the world that have been heavily studied for having people that live to be over 100 years old. And if you asked somebody, if you asked your listeners, I'll do the asking real quick before I give the answer. What are the things in those communities that make people live over 100 years old? Right? They've identified them. They studied them. They realized what they are and they looked at them. I think most of your listeners would come up with a couple of them, right? Diet, regular physical activity, low stress. Here's the two I'm not sure you would come up with. A sense of purpose or meaning in strong social connections. Those are the things that are causing people to live longer lives. I'm not going to say healthier. I'm just going to say longer. I can't prove healthy, right? I don't even want to get into the semantics of whether they're healthy or not, right? But those are the things that they prove that people live longer when they have these strong social connections, okay? I'm going to go a little further with it. Harvard has done a study over 80 years that's found that individuals with strong social connections and supportive relationships live longer, and they use the word healthier lives. Brigham Young did a meta-analysis that revealed that people with strong social relationships have a 50% likelihood of survival compared to those with weaker and limited social connections, right? These are proof in the pudding that, and when you develop in a community that is strong and together, and you learn how to develop relationships that are strong, you physically live longer. I mean, what else could there be, right? I mean, what else could you ask for? Longer, healthier lives come from becoming and joining and being somebody that can develop strong relationships with others. And what are we talking about when it comes to social and emotional learning? I mean, number one, we're talking about developing a strong relationship with yourself, and that's going to lead to developing strong relationships with others. We probably said the word empathy, you know, 100 times over the course of these 4 podcasts, right? But it's such a big piece of becoming a part of a community, right? In the community that you want to be a part of. Do you want to be a part of a community that shows empathy? Well, show empathy. Do you want to be a part of a community that enhances the lives of others? Well, enhance the life of the people around you. And it's not rocket science. Because if it was, I wouldn't be able to do that. It's just, I don't have that. What I do have is an understanding that you start to build yourself and start to teach, train, develop, inspire, look inward, start to be around the people that make you a better person and help them become better people. Not only are you going to be a part of a community where you're going to get to live a long, vital life, but you're going to live longer. And you're going to have more time to do it. So when we think about adding this to our students' lives or adding this to our teachers' lives, there's no better reason than to say, you get to live a longer, healthier life.
Well, that's quite the answer for why do I need to know this? Here in school. Man, that would really just shut that conversation down because you're going to put years onto your life.
In fact, not opinion. That's the part I love about this.
Right. And you know, and that's the powerful thing. It's not just, again, and we said this in the last episode, the idea that, yeah, it's feel good, right? And things that feel good are good. But it's also the factual, science-backed improvement in every other area, in knowledge, in understanding, academics.
And that's the part that I want our listeners to take home. Like maybe, you know, maybe we do a 5th podcast and we riff about it. But what I want people to really understand, and it's okay, right? And I'm going to use that word. It's okay that we didn't know before, right? We'll go back to the beginning. The Renaissance didn't know that if you drove these stone and wooden piles down into the earth, you would have a stronger foundation. It's okay. What they did give us with math and science and history and all, there's some medicine and, right? Thank you. But previous to this, right, your predecessors, the people previous to this time, maybe had an inkling, maybe had a thought about it, but they didn't know. It wasn't tangible. Nobody had studied it. Nobody had given them the facts and figures. So it's okay that we don't have it yet, or it's okay that it hasn't hit our schools with as robustly as we, it's a strange word, robustly, as we would like it to, or systematically, right, or developed into. But now it is. Now's the time. Now's the time for people, in my opinion, and I'm going to put you on the spot here. Now's the time for people like yourself, an educator that is brave. And I love that word because I feel like if I was going to describe you, that'd be the word I would use, right? Brave enough to say, we have the information now. We have the data. We have the science. We have the feel good. We always had the feel good. Now, how do we implement it? Now, what do we do to really enhance the lives and longevity, as we just proved, of our students and our teachers? How do we build more powerful communities? What is it? So that's it. That's what I got.
So it's okay. So first of all, call me out on my own podcast, whatever. I'm going to gloss over that. I love challenging people, but you have to go out and challenge me while we're recording. That's perfect. But so here's my answer to the quiz that you just gave me too. We do that. We build more powerful communities by starting with giving students the skills that we can find on the castle wheel, the SEL skills, building proactive, systemic SEL practices and procedures in our schools that are done on a daily basis.
I love it.
Sound right?
I love it. I couldn't agree more. And don't forget the teachers. That's the part. We, the teachers in, you know, I think we talked about this a little bit previously. It's okay to be afraid. If you're a teacher being asked to teach something that is this new and deeply personal, right? And it's okay to not have the answers and not understand and be afraid of the mindful minute because you're just not used to it. But once you understand that's your own personal growth opportunity, not only do you get to grow as an individual, you can grow and teach at the same time. And how cool is that, right? Coming up, showing up to work, knowing I get to grow a little bit today and teach a little bit today and share a little bit today and develop these strategies and these policies and these procedures that are going to improve the lives of everybody in my community. I mean, how cool would it be? I'm just going to use an example of maybe you're a teacher and you've gone through this process and you've helped your students learn this social and emotional learning. And then you go out to dinner in the same town and that student is the person that's working there, you know, after school. And you can tell that they have learned empathy and, you know, social and personal responsibility and accountability. And you know that you are a part of that. Right. That's outside of the classroom. That's in a real life example because you get to go and see that. And not only do you get to go and see that, now you get to be a part of that community of the restaurant that you're at, knowing that it's a community you want to be in. And there's people that you helped get there, right? Right away. You don't have to wait 20 years to see it be successful. You can watch it happen overnight. And I think that's a super powerful thing for ourselves to take away from this.
I think that's what we see as community, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what I think is also powerful about what you're saying. Because when we talk about community and affecting the community, we think about outside the school walls, or at least from a school perspective, we talk about the in-school community. Then we talk about affecting the community at large, which is the town or the city or even the state. We often skip over the community of ourselves, because we are the community. And when you talk about how cool is it that you get to work on these things to impart these different SEL skills to students that, you know, you kind of learn as you go. The only thing I would say to that is I would take it a step further than that, because you grow every time you teach something or you put something in place, like a procedure or something that that effect, or research something. The step further I would take it is, as leaders or as administrators or anything like that, we have to help not just acknowledge our own growth, but help teachers acknowledge that they're growing along with the students as they put it in place. I think about SEL practices being done or mindful minute practices being done. And we tried this as a school where we do a mindful minute before each period. Students would pass, they'd come in, try and calm everything down for a minute and do a mindful minute. And I had a core group of teachers that were doing that and helping teachers get that off the ground and giving examples. And a couple of the teachers said, well, I'll do it, but could you record your voice doing it and I'll just play your voice doing it? And I think about those teachers who then took a chance and did that. They grew. They might have not have said, oh, I've grown. Look at how the students are growing, but they didn't acknowledge that they're now reading what they were afraid to read before for whatever reason, but they've grown. And I really liked, before I stopped talking, what you said about it's okay, because it sounds like maybe you were channeling a little bit of Maya Angelou, who I believe it was Maya Angelou who said, do the best you can until you know better, then do better.
You said.
And I'll just leave it at that. So.
Yeah, I love it. And that's the part that we need to really start with when we think about implementing this stuff. It's okay. It's okay that we didn't know. It's okay that I'm 41 years old and I didn't, and I was triggered the other day and flew off the handle and started yelling, right? It's okay. It really, truly is. But learning from it, growing from it, understanding it, or seeing a path where you can do better and then going down that path, right? Becoming that person that we talked about, becoming that sixth person in the six person group. Because you want to be that person, and not being that yet is okay. It's okay, right? And trying and failing and not doing it and doing it and then starting again, it's all okay. And I think that's what we teach that to our students and our kids, but do we take that to our heart, to ourselves? Because sometimes we don't. Sometimes we beat ourselves up about the silliest things, right? But in its truest form, you know, being yourself, being your true authentic self and bringing that with you everywhere you go, you don't even have to worry about the communities you interact with. They'll all be great because you're being there being great. You're being there bringing your authentic self, and that will be enough. And if we can teach the kids that, if we can teach the teachers that, it sounds simple and it is not simple, but it is simple, but it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. It's just a simple thing to do.
You know, Mike, you mentioned that this is the community part and it's the inspire part. I can't imagine that people haven't had a lot of different thoughts over these four episodes. We're going to have a fifth episode. But, and on that fifth episode, you know how you called me out just a little while ago? Well, I'm going to return the favor. You are going to answer those two questions that I ask everybody before they get out of my podcast. But I'm going to ask you those at the end of the fifth episode as twofold. One, because I'm going to ask you those questions and I want to hear your answers. But two, that'll guarantee a fifth episode if I hold off on those questions because of my desire to ask you for those answers. But a little bit of selfishness coming out there, but that's all right. One of the things I do want to do, because I can't imagine that the people not having a bunch of different thoughts, and there are, you know, you've started so many threads, you've planted so many seeds that can go off in different directions. You don't just talk about this stuff on podcasts. You do talk about it live. You do go see people, you are looking to go speak to schools and help people with how they implement this. And because it is, like I said in the beginning, a global piece. You're not just saying, hey, put in the mindful minute. This is how you do it. Here are some examples of mindful minute and go. People do that. Companies do that. Okay, that's great. That's good for them. And if that's what you're looking for, that's what you're looking for. You're talking more about building on yourself and the science behind that and how that builds into something more powerful. So that said, long way to get there. I tend to be long-winded sometimes. How can people get in touch with you? Like, what's the best way people can get in touch with you? And I'm going to put this all in the show notes and everything, but, you know, knowing how people learn, they need to hear things too, not just see them and click them or read them. So what's the best way people can get in touch with you for more information about this stuff.
Absolutely. So I started the company with the intention of bringing this to communities. And I put my intention out there and didn't really care where direction it went. And what I've learned is I just keep getting more and more awesome opportunities to talk to people like you, to talk to educators around the country, to talk to various communities like the YMCA. And what I have decided to do in the way that I have approached this now is to treat it more as an ongoing thing. So you can get a hold of me. We'll put my email address and my phone number in the show notes. But just remember, it is my intention to come be with you in person, help you understand, help you implement, and then work with you to go for ongoing training. So my company doesn't just come in and do a one-time, this is what you should do, right? What we do is we really try and we really work to do all four aspects of what we believe are important in this. And that's teach, train, develop, and inspire. So what I'm saying is you can hire me as a consultant. You can talk to me for free for a few minutes and ask me and pick my brain, but do it with the intention of bringing this stuff to life. Do it with the intention of bringing it for you personally and then your community as well. So yeah, just reach out, call, text, email. Right, we'll put it all in the show notes. Available. I love to roll up my sleeves. I think really meeting people is where I really enjoy spending my time. So I'm looking forward to meeting anybody that's interested in talking to me. I think that's it.
Perfect. I can't reiterate this enough to the listeners. Mike, you are definitely the real deal. You do roll up your sleeves and get involved. So I know from personal experience that you are just, hey, pick up the phone. I'm willing to talk. Let's set something up, pick my brain for a little while and go from there. You were a little humble though, because I do believe, you know, you talk about working with organizations like the Y and everything, but is it Babson you're going to be meeting with as well? And their program. What's the name of that program again?
So Babson College is number one in the world for entrepreneurship, and they have approached social and emotional learning from an entrepreneurial aspect. And they, a great woman over there, Beth Goldstein, has put this thing together, and she is really trying to do, it's called the Youth Impact Lab. You guys can take a look at that. She's really done some amazing work, and it's still in kind of in its startup infancy, but approaching this social emotional mindset learning from an entrepreneurial mindset, right? And we talked about mindset, intention, and right action, right? Really helps the kids understand that this world is so big and they can be anything they want. They just have to learn how to do those things that we talked about for the last few hours internally, and the rest of it will take care of itself.
Well, that's a wrap, but not the end. Next step, be sure to take action on something you heard here today. Hey, thanks for listening to the Seen to Lead podcast. If you would like to connect for any reason, email me at drchrissj@gmail.com or catch me on Twitter at Dr. C.S. Jones. If you've gotten any value from the Seen to Lead podcast today, you can help me and other leaders create a world-class environment through a teacher-centric approach by subscribing to the show, leaving an honest rating or review, and sharing this episode on social media with your most valuable takeaway. Also, one last thing. Have you had a chance to pick up my latest 5-star rated book yet? Grab your copy of Seeing to Lead anywhere you buy books or at seeingtolead.com. That's SEEINGTOLEAD.com, where you can learn more and continue to improve. Now go have a successful week.
And now a quick word from our sponsor, Jigsaw Learning. Whether you lead at the school, district, or division level, you're serving a wide array of students, and you know that no one person has all the answers when it comes to meeting each of their needs. That's why Jigsaw Learning helps leaders and their staff and faculty to develop a collaborative approach. Every child deserves a team. And when you put together the pieces of effective collaboration, you can realize that team's full potential. Connection, relationships, and authentic collaboration are at the foundation of Jigsaw Learning's work. Through professional learning presented on site, online, or a blend of both, Jigsaw's team of experienced learning associates works with you to develop a personalized plan to help collaborative response thrive in your organization. Learn why educators have described working with Jigsaw Learning as powerful, wonderful, and beneficial for all students. Visit jigsawlearning.ca and connect with the team for information. That's jigsawlearning.ca.
There are lots of solutions out there for giving students what they need when they need it. But when do they actually do all those things? You need flexible time. When added into your master schedule, flex time enables students to get extra help or intervention, meet with teachers, make up work, get physical exercise, and try new enrichment offerings. If you're thinking of giving it a try, check out MyFlex Learning, which unlocks the benefits of flex time without the common challenges. Its intuitive design and SIS integration makes implementation and training a breeze. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.